This is Brewers on Tap.
Episode 4 of Brewers on Tap is underway, and the regular season is less than 2 weeks away. Hi, everybody. Welcome back into the official podcast of the Milwaukee Brewers. My name is Jeff Levering, the host of the podcast. This last week was a good one for the Milwaukee Brewers. Started playing much better baseball on the field, fielding ground balls with much more ease. Pitching was very efficient, and their offense came alive thanks to a 12-run output against the Texas Rangers on Saturday this last week, as well as a 13-run output against the Chicago White Sox the very next day in Maryvale. So things are starting to point in the right direction for the Brewers as we inch closer and closer to the regular season. So let's get episode 4 going with This Week in Brewers History.
And now, This Week, the Brewers History.
Well, in This Week in Brewers History, and in fact, on this day, just a couple of years ago, the Milwaukee Brewers signed this year's opening day starter, Kyle Loesch. He signed a 3-year free agent contract with the Brewers, and in his first 2 years of the 3-year deal, he's gone 24-19, the 3.45 earned run average in 63 starts. Again, last week, he was named the opening day starter by manager Ron Renicke, and it will be his third opening day start of his career. So far this spring, he is 2-0 with a 1.80 earned run average through 4 starts. Loesch has struck out 15 and walked just 1 in his first 4 appearances this spring, and in his last outing on Saturday in surprise against the Rangers, he was the first Brewer to go 5 innings, and he gave up just 1 run on 4 hits, again did not walk a batter, and struck out 5, and even at one point retired 9 batters in a row. So for Kyle Loesch, this year's opening day starter, if the numbers are any indication, he's ready to go for April 6th against the Rockies.
Swings, and there it is! A base hit in the right center! He's done it! 3,000 for Robin!
Let's look back at the week that was in terms of the highlights, and it goes back to St. Patrick's Day when Carlos Gomez hit an absolute no-doubter on St. Patrick's Day in Peoria against the Padres.
Saw it a little bit yesterday, too, with Lester and Wellington Castillo of the Cubs as Gomez puts a charge into that one. Nothing for Justin Upton to do, but watch. A 3-run home run for Carlos Gomez. And the Brewers have a 4-1 lead here in the second.
That call courtesy of Fox Sports San Diego. A couple of days later, the defending World Series champion San Francisco Giants came to Maryvale with yet another sellout here in Western Phoenix. Brewers right fielder Ryan Braun had been off to a slow start in the spring, 0 for his first 12, but against the Giants and Ryan Vogelsong, Braun notched his first hit of the spring.
I don't want to be off frame.
Well, with me and Augie and Davey, you can't fit in the frame.
I know it. There's the first base hit for Ryan Braun down the left field line. First hit of the spring for Braun, first hit of the game for Milwaukee, right on cue here in the bottom of the fourth inning, a leadoff single.
Craig Kishon of Fox Sports Wisconsin on the call of Ryan Braun's first base hit, and it's the first of many for Ryan, and he's gotten hot since that first base hit, homering in back-to-back games on the 20th and then also on the 22nd against the Chicago White Sox, hitting back-to-back blasts with Jonathan Lucroy in Sunday's game against Chicago. Also from Thursday's game, one of the spring standouts, and one we'll hear later from in the podcast, Matt Long, he went deep to straightaway center field, his second home run of the spring.
Can they afford to go with two utility infielders and then have him be your bat off the bench? Long hits this one a long way, and this one is out of the park. Just left of the batter's eye. Long with a home run, his second of the spring.
That dead center field.
Matt Long making a serious bid coming out of spring to make the Milwaukee Brewers opening day roster. Through the first 15 games of spring training, Long is hitting .348 with a couple of homers and leads the team with 8 runs batted in. He's also tripled twice. Matt Long, who can play all 3 outfield positions as well as second base, certainly showing off his versatility and impressing the Brewers brass here in Maryvale.
Lincoln is ready, and here it is. Braun sends it to left center and deep. Get up! Get up! Get out of here and gone again for Ryan Braun. He just hit another three-run shot out of here.
We move forward with the podcast, so what seems to be a theme in this week's edition. That's outfielder and infielder Matt Long, who's bidding to make the club. I had an opportunity to sit down with the Northern California native and get to know Matt Long in this week's edition of Catching Up with the Crew.
Let's catch up with the crew.
Time to catch up with the crew, and this time we catch up with outfielder Matt Long. Matt trying to win a job here in the spring on this Brewers roster, and it's been a really good spring for you so far. You've played a lot of outfield and even mixing in at second base a little bit. Obviously, the swing feels pretty good, but how do you feel?
I feel good. I mean, other than a little sickness that's going around the locker room, but on the field I feel really good. I feel comfortable, which is the most important thing. And now it's just a matter of getting comfortable on the dirt. So it's going to be a little bit of a challenge, but I like that I'm going to be moving around a little bit.
Well, now you played second base a little bit in 2013. You had 84 games the most time you'd spent at second base. Pretty much an outfielder the rest of your minor league career, but you still consider yourself a second baseman.
Well, I consider myself a possible utility player. I mean, I feel comfortable at second base, which is why I think I can consider myself a second baseman. But yeah, I like the moving around. You know, I'd like to see some time on the left side of the infield too. I think I got like 10 games at third base. I have a couple at short, so I like to consider myself a utility player above anything else.
Well, now a couple of years ago, you were shuffling between a couple of different positions. I mean, what was it like showing up to the ballpark every day, not knowing where you were necessarily going to play?
I think it's actually exciting. You know, it's easy to get comfortable in this game. You know, if you show up and you know you're going to be hitting in this spot in the lineup and playing this position. And I like the change. It keeps your mind fresh. It keeps you thinking, which I think ultimately keeps you sharp on both sides of the ball.
Well, and you mentioned both sides of the ball. How do you stay consistent offensively when you've got to worry about playing different positions?
It's the same thing, just going back to comfortability. I mean, I remember the first time I played second base, I started struggling hitting because my mind was working so hard on the defensive side of the ball that it was kind of inevitable that I was going to work on the offensive side of the ball. So it's just learning to separate the two. And just keep a calm mind and stay comfortable.
You mentioned comfortable a bunch of times here. It's a new organization for you. I mean, you were with the Angels for your entire career. You were a Dodger for about 15 minutes. And now you're a Brewer. What's it like coming back and getting to know these guys?
Well, it was weird at first. Definitely weird coming into a clubhouse and not knowing any faces. I mean, I had a couple guys, you know, Lucho, Siggy, Helwig, Pena, Will Smith even, guys that I have seen. So that helped the transition a little bit. But I mean, the Brewers clubhouse is so welcoming. It made it easy to get comfortable right away, which was awesome.
You got to talk about your locker mates, Brian Peterson, Shane Peterson, and Peterson Orr, which makes up the four-headed monster, which we've known as the law firm here recently. And Pete Orr was actually a little upset with me just a second ago. He goes, hey, I got to get in this law firm. But talk about those guys. It seems like you guys have really started to get a nice little groove going.
Yeah, it's been great getting to know those guys. I mean, since day one, we were in the same hitting groups, you know, kind of in the same defensive groups everywhere we went. And we just clicked right off the bat. You know, it's nice, especially having Peterson Orr. You know, he's great. You know, he's got so many stories from playing. And then, you know, we kind of thrive on those stories. And it just becomes fun conversation no matter what. So we clicked, and, you know, it's fun in the locker room. It's fun on the field. And we're always around each other, so it's a good thing. We like each other.
Well, now you've got this competition in the outfield. You know, there's three spots. We've got three pretty much starters all ready to go, and people are battling for that fourth or fifth job. And the guys that are within that battle, you played against in college a lot. So, I mean, that you guys have gone back a few years.
Yeah, I mean, even pro ball, I mean, I played against Shane a lot in the last few years. And, you know, it's hard to consider yourself in competition with other teammates because they could be your teammate whether it's in AAA or it's in the big leagues, you know. So I don't like to necessarily compete with my teammates. I like to compete with myself. And, you know, everyone here is a teammate. So if you're competing against them, it's going to ruin chemistry. So I think that's an important thing. So I try to think about that, just think about playing my game and move on from there.
All right, enough about baseball. Let's get to know Matt Long a little bit. We've got the NCAA tournament that's going on. I know our PR guy, Mike Vassall, is really upset that Villanova lost, but Rob Wooten's running around hooting and hollering about North Carolina. Did you fill out a bracket?
I did not fill out a bracket. I'm not a huge huge college basketball guy. I don't really follow it, so I would be guessing blind if I filled out a bracket. But I hear Wooten there talking about North Carolina, and I just kind of I follow the clubhouse conversation more than I follow the actual tournament.
All right, it saves you a couple of bucks too in the long run.
Yeah, it's money I don't have to spend either.
In the offseason, I mentioned that it was kind of a whirlwind for you, being traded from the Angels and then to the Dodgers. What was that experience like for you to go through that?
It was crazy. I mean, I thought I was at a point where a trade was kind of out of the question. So to get that call out of the blue, I got a call from Bobby Scales with the Angels. I thought he was calling me to tell me to go play winter ball or something. And he told me I had been traded to the Dodgers, and it was a weird feeling. I mean, my heart started beating a little fast. It was, you know, somewhere I'd been for 6 years, 5.5 years, and knowing I wasn't going to be there showing up in spring training was different. But so I was with the Dodgers for, I think, 8 hours, but I didn't find out till the next morning when Gord Ash called me, let me know I was a Brewer, and I was ecstatic about that.
It's a good opportunity and a great organization, and it's a really loose clubhouse. That's the thing that I've noticed the most being down here for spring training, is that everybody is on the same page and everybody's having a good time.
Oh, it's great in there. I was a little surprised when I showed up, because from what I knew, everything, you know, you're told to be here at this time, or you have to do this and get here early, but you're on your own here, and I like that. You know, you got to hold yourself accountable, and there's no walking on eggshells. You know, everybody's great. You can do your own thing, so going back to being comfortable, yeah, it was a great transition. I love it.
Also about the off season, what kind of stuff did you do? Did you have any crazy workout regimens, or did you go on like a paleo diet or anything like that?
Well, I trained pretty hard in the off season. I trained at this place called Sparta out in Menlo Park, California. So that's 4 days a week. And other than that, my sister and her husband moved down to the South Bay from San Francisco, and they bought a new house. So I was helping out with, you know, some work around there. My sister was pregnant. She had her baby about a month ago, actually. So I spent a lot of time around my family. Didn't do too much traveling, but I bounced around. So.
Now, do you do any crazy workouts, like a CrossFit or anything like that?
Oh, it's not CrossFit. They've kind of pioneered a lot of new training, you know, training methods, and they use a scientific method, uses force plates. So it's crazy in its own regard. You know, you go in there and you watch people train, or you come in there for the first time and feel like you're doing some different things that you don't know if they're beneficial or not. But I've been in there for 6 years now, and they've been nothing but great.
I'm chatting with Matt Long, and I noticed you've got a big tattoo on your right arm. Explain what's going on with the tattoo.
Well, they're just some redwood silhouettes. You know, the redwood trees are all over the place where I'm from, where I grew up. So it's kind of a, you know, just something to look at and remind me of home. And what's behind it, actually, my brother did a painting for me for Christmas. So the painting just is similar to something he did for me. So it's just kind of, you know, keep family and roots in mind and where I came from.
Nothing better than a tree on your arm. So you're a Northern California guy. You went to school at Santa Clara, so you stayed pretty much at home to play ball. How big was that for you?
It was nice. You know, my parents were good about making me feel like I was actually in college. You know, they'd come to my games, but other than that, if I wanted to see them, I went home. So it didn't seem like I was super close to home, even though I was only about 15 minutes. But I like being close to, you know, I love that area. It's a hard area not to love, so... Mm-hmm. Figured great school, good education, and I love the area, so why go anywhere else?
And one of your current teammates, Logan Schaefer, is from that area, not too far from where you went to school and grew up.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Los Gatos, right down the road. We played against each other growing up a little bit. Yeah, you ask him too. I mean, he'll probably back me out that it's a great area, but a little pricey now, so I don't know how much longer I'll be there.
Well, Milwaukee's rather affordable these days, which is a good thing. Chat a little bit about what you like to do off the field. Are you a movie guy? You like playing golf? Are you a hunter? What do you like doing?
Well, I like getting out in nature a little bit. You know, during the season, it's a little bit easier to wake up in the morning and go on some little hikes and get out there. During spring training, it's show up, get to the ballpark, go home, sit on the couch, fall asleep. It's too hard to really get a lot of extra activities. But, yeah, when I have free time, I like to, you know, explore new restaurants, go find new places out maybe in the mountains that you can hike around a little bit, and yeah, just kind of be outside. We're outside for my job, or for our jobs, so it's a great thing.
You got the slick back hair, and you have kind of the mountain man beard going this year.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. People ask me if it's hot down here in Arizona. I told them I chopped off about 2 inches right before I came down, so I feel like I have a short haircut right now on my face.
Well, it looks good. I mean, you've got the entire outfield pretty much. You and Brian Peterson, are you guys battling with the frothiest beard?
No. We can't cut it now. It's kind of, we've kind of marketed ourselves, I guess. So I guess it's on there for good.
Well, and you're swinging the bat well, so usually you don't mess with things when things are going well.
No, I mean, I'm not too superstitious, but if it ain't broken, don't fix it, right?
Well, Matt, thanks so much for the time. It's been great getting to know you a little bit, and hopefully if things go right, we'll see you in Milwaukee. If not, I'm sure we'll see you at some point soon.
All right, thanks, Jeff.
Great stuff from Matt Long, who, again, having a fantastic spring, not only a great baseball player, but a great guy and a great clubhouse guy for Ron Renneke and company. Earlier in the week, Brewers beat reporter for MLB.com, Adam McAlvey, had an opportunity to talk with the new hitting coach, Darnell Coles. He's in his second stint in the organization, was previously the hitting coordinator from 2010 and 2011, and was a manager in AA Huntsville in 2012 and 2013. So he's got himself some knowledge with this Brewers organization and the guys going up, and one guy in particular that he's had some success with is his former outfielder, Chris Davis, now the starting left fielder for the Brewers. And Chris Davis has taken off so far in the spring. Last season, Coles spent the year with the Detroit Tigers as the assistant hitting coach at the major league level. So Coles has got himself a little bit of big league experience as well as the knowledge of the Brewers organization. So McAlvey sat down with him to talk about the exciting offense and some of the new additions.
When you got this job, how much study did you do of what happened to this team in the last 6 weeks offensively?
Well, I mean, you're always studying, so to speak, or looking at this team from afar, having been with a lot of these players, obviously, having been the hitting coordinator in the organization, so there's a lot of guys here that were here when I was here. So the team struggled the last 6 weeks of the season. A lot of teams find their struggles earlier or probably more in the middle of the season. This team just happened to struggle at the end, but the best part about that struggle, it's a learning experience. I don't think any of those guys feel like they ever want to go through that again. So it's a reminder, because numbers are numbers, that it happened, but learn from it.
One thing that didn't change for this team when they were good, when it was good offensively early and when it struggled, is that it was one of the most free-swinging teams in baseball, really. Are you okay with that?
Well, I'm not okay if you're not swinging at pitches on the plate or in the strike zone. You know, if you get first pitch fastball and Ron wants him to be aggressive and it's in the strike zone and you feel like you can handle it, of course we want you to swing. But we also want you to be selective, and the approach of stand through the middle allows you to stay on breaking balls. It allows you to understand, pitches inside that are on the edges that are coming in off the plate. You're better able to lay off those pitches. So you're trying to get in as many hitters counts a game that are going to allow you to possibly get the best pitch that you may see that at bat.
Are you excited to work with Gomez?
Excited to work with the whole group. Obviously, Carlos is a special player. He knows how to play the game. Obviously, he plays it at 100% all the time. The objective is to keep him on the field and keep him healthy. And because with him hitting the middle of the lineup or top of the lineup, he's a special player. I mean, he's got a chance to win multiple MVPs when he puts it all together. I think he's starting to put it all together. There's some room for improvement in some areas. And we're just looking to try and improve in those areas so that he can finally put it all together. Because, again, him being in the middle of the lineup, obviously Bronny being healthy is going to be huge.
What do you see from Ryan Braun in batting practice in terms of how he's driving the ball?
Well, I see he's driving the ball. I see that he's healthy for the most part. I think that, you know, we're trying to get him through spring training, and I'm sure he feels the same way without overtaxing him or taking too much batting practice so we don't aggravate his thumb. So he's going at his own pace. So far, so good. He looks great. And again, for me, it's not so much the timing in the game, because I know that'll come. It's that he's healthy and he's able to swing it with no plane, and so far, so good.
Former first-round pick Darnell Coles, should be a great season for him and very exciting with the talent that we have on this roster here in Milwaukee.
Gantner, there he goes, the pitch, a swing and a fly ball, right field and deep, get up and get out of here, gone for Swaim, and they've done it again, 12 in a row on a two-run blast by Swaim to win it. Oh my goodness!
Also taking a look behind the curtain a bit with the Brewers organization, in this week's segment of Let's Break It Down, I chatted with Director of Professional Scouting, Zach Manassian.
Let's Break It Down.
It's time to break it down with the director of player scouting, that is Zach Manassian. He is joining us on Brewers on Tap. Now, Zach, tell me a little bit about what you're doing on a day-out basis. I mean, this is spring training. It's not spring training only for the players, but it's for you guys, too. It's a great time to evaluate players.
Yeah, it's probably the most enjoyable time of the year for me, especially having spring training here in Arizona. For me personally, it's a great opportunity to see so many different players, and we have so many opposing teams, complexes that are so close to where we're at that on any given day, you can hop around and see pretty much whatever team you want out of the Arizona clubs, a little different from Florida. But definitely spring training for us too, so even getting back there behind the plate and scouting pitchers and positional players, you kind of adjust your eyes and get back into it, but it usually comes pretty quick.
You can always tell the scouts when they've got their stopwatches and their files. They're ready to go, and you're no different there. Talk a little bit about your background and how you got to be where you are right now at such a young age.
Well, I grew up working in the clubhouse, and I was a bat boy and cleaned bathrooms and cleaned dirty shoes and picked up dirty clothes and did all that and just tried to soak up as much of the game as I could. And at one point, I do remember Bat Boy in a game and a fan yelling out that Bat Boys aren't supposed to have beards. So at that point, I figured, you know what? I always dreamed of obviously playing in the major leagues, but all 5'8 of me, 160 pounds, figured out that wasn't going to happen. So I figured if I wanted to be in this game, I needed to be smart in my mind as opposed to strong in my body, and that led me to the front office.
You've got some superior bloodlines in baseball, over 100 years. Your dad was in baseball for a long time, grandfather, I believe, and your brother, who works with the Blue Jays, too. So, I mean, it's a family affair.
Yeah. I joke about dinner time is usually saved for baseball talk, and my brother Perry has the same job I have. So sometimes the conversations are a little cryptic as far as what we can talk about and what we can share with each other. And so it's definitely a family family affair. My brother Calvin runs the minor league clubhouse for the Nationals, handles all their affiliates and outfitting all their minor league players. And growing up around it, we all develop, I guess, our own philosophy on how things should be done. And they're no different. Yeah. So when it comes to things the Brewers do, they'll definitely share their opinion with me.
Well, and your godfather is Tommy Lasorda. So, I mean, he really is your godfather and the godfather.
Yes, I joke. He always says he bleeds Dodger blue. I say I was baptized in it. Mm-hmm. So, I've been very fortunate, obviously, to have the people around me, not only family and friends to learn from, but also the people here with the Brewers, from Doug, Gord, and so on and so forth. So very fortunate, and I think probably can attribute that as much as anything to me doing this at a younger age is just the people I grew up around.
Zach Manassian joining us. He is the director of scouting with the Brewers, and we talk about scouting, and it's such a different process now than when it was 10, 15 years ago. Even you've got all the sabermetrics, you have all of the different acronyms that you guys have to put into play. How much do analytics play into scouting specific players?
Well, it's a conversation we have with the scouts every year. My philosophy, I always compare it to a crime scene where you have a detective and then you have the people in the lab doing the CSI stuff. So what I tell the scouts is they are the detectives. They're supposed to go there and investigate, and they're going to come back to me with things of gut feel, things that don't look right, things that they haven't seen in their experiences. And then we can take back some of those things to the people in the lab, and they can do tests that they've done. And that's how I compare scouting and analytics. I don't necessarily want to take the detectives and put them in the crime lab, and I don't want to take the crime lab guys and put them out in the field being the detectives. So what we try to do is tell our people to focus on what their specialty is. And then it comes to the top where myself, I can kind of be the voice of the scouts, and Carl Muller on the analytical side can be the voice of all the analysts that we have now. And I think the important thing that we realize is that we need each other to get to where we want to get as an organization. Some of our best decisions, I feel like, have been the ones where Carl and his crew are saying, we need to get this player, and then my crew is saying, we need to get the same exact player. And we have our different reasons, comes together, pass it on to Doug, and then it's up to him to make the call and what to give up to get that player.
What's interesting is that certain teams handle different situations differently, obviously. Everybody's different. But you see a team like the Astros that is, all right, I'm going to plop a guy into the computer, punch a couple of numbers, and come out with XYZ. It seems like the Brewers are a little bit more traditional in the sense of scouting, but then they'll have a little corner of analytics in terms of judging not only their own players, but other players outside the organization.
I think a big part of this game is developing what works for you, and what works for the Brewers may not work for the Yankees or the Red Sox or the Astros. So obviously your resources dictate a lot of what you can and can't do. And things tend to evolve on their own over time. And when I first got here, I didn't work in pro scouting, and our people in analytics weren't even here, and the ones that were here, they didn't work in analytics. So things evolve, and one thing I can say about us as a front office is we expect our players to always try and improve, and we expect the same thing out of ourselves. So if there are things that we can do, whether it's new age, old school, whatever it may be, we just want to do whatever we can do to equate to more wins on the board.
I would love to say that it's as easy as see ball, hit ball, score runs, but it's just not that way anymore. But Zach, it's been great sitting down with you and get to know you and how you got to where you are, and a little bit about the scouting side of things too. So thank you so much for breaking it down for us.
Absolutely, Jeff. My pleasure.
Just 31 years old, is in his 11th season with the Brewers and his fifth in his current position. Such a great pedigree of baseball knowledge going back 100 years with his family. And thanks to him for sitting down with us in our segment of Let's Break It Down. Cuts are bound to happen as the regular season inches closer. Again, under 2 weeks until opening day. So some tough decisions need to happen for the Milwaukee Brewers brass. That includes sending some players back down to the minor leagues before the regular season starts. And there are a handful of guys that are going to make that decision very tough for the Brewers brass. So let's check in on the farm and see what's going on with a couple of people that could be on the bubble, but are certainly making an impression with the Brewers.
Checking in on the farm.
Another player that's making an opening day roster bid, that's reliever Rob Wooten. To this point, Wooten has appeared in 6 games and has allowed just 1 run in 10 innings of work and has even picked up a save. He's struck out 8 batters in those 10 frames. In one of his daily press conferences, manager Ron Renneke addressed Rob Wooten's ability to make the team.
Well, I think he gives us a lot of versatility. He's very durable, which is probably huge for what we need in the bullpen. Depending on where we are with a couple guys, that there'll be 1 spot maybe, there'll be 2 spots maybe. We'll just kind of see how it is when we come down to the end. And I know Chris Perez is, you know, certainly a guy that's in there fighting for one of those jobs. And we'll see where Henderson and Thornburg are. And then Wooten's the guy that, length if you want it, back-to-back-to-back if you want it. He has options, which sometimes is good and bad. So he's a big part on trying to figure out this last spot in the bullpen.
Now it's time to take our weekly look at the Brewers and social media.
Tweet this. Let's check in on social media.
With March Madness in full swing and brackets being filled out and scratched out with bracket busters and a couple of upsets, there is no Brewer that is more entrenched in this year's NCAA basketball tournament than reliever Rob Wooten. The former North Carolina Tar Heel has been tweeting week in and week out about his Tar Heel success. Things will get very interesting in the Sweet 16 for Wooten, however, as his Tar Heels take on the Badgers of Wisconsin. And Kyle Loesch went to Twitter to ask for everybody's help to strike out cancer and the kids at Child Health Wisconsin by purchasing a Brewers colored t-shirt. Check it out at 108stitches.com and always use the hashtag KCancer. This is a campaign, the Strikeout Cancer, that was started by Jason Mott, then of the St. Louis Cardinals, now with the Cubs, a few years ago. And it's a great campaign with t-shirts in team colors and a big K on the front to strike out cancer. And you can help out Kyle Loesch in his campaign for striking out cancer by visiting 108stitches.com and purchasing one of those t-shirts. And he did a very nice job of modeling said t-shirt. And speaking of modeling, the likes of Rob Wooten, Jonathan Lucroy, Scooter Jeanette, Mike Fiers, Gene Segura, Jimmy Nelson, and Gerardo Parra took on a modeling role. All the Free Shirt Friday t-shirts were adorned by all seven of those players. So make sure to go to Brewers.com to check out all the details on how you can get tickets to all of those Friday games and get one of those t-shirts modeled by those players.
Swing and a fly ball hit well to right, deep. Stanton on the warning track leaps, and it's off his glove and over the wall. A home run!
Baseball is on everybody's mind despite what's going on with March Madness and opening day less than 2 weeks away. April the 6th at Miller Park against the Colorado Rockies. The only way that you can get there is by getting yourself a 10-pack with plans starting at just $16. Includes 10 of the season's biggest games, plus the only way you can get to opening day now is your 11th free game. You can pick your games using the Fan's Choice plan. There's a 10-pack perfect for every Brewers fan. So to find the plan that's right for you, call 414-902-HITS or visit brewers.com/10-packs. And also, don't forget about all of our great giveaways. We talked about all the t-shirts and the outstanding modeling by all of our players here in the spring. We've got a club record 20 all-fan giveaways on the schedule, 10 bobbleheads, 7 t-shirt Fridays, 2 garden gnomes, and 1 fan vote item later. And to make sure that you know all things giveaways, visit brewers.com/all-fan. So that's going to do it for this episode number 4 of Brewers on Tap. Don't forget to tweet your questions to @Brewers using the hashtag Brewers on Tap to get yourself involved in the podcast week in and week out. Again, special thanks to our great guests, outfielder and second baseman Matt Long, vying for a job on the roster, and director of professional scouting, Zach Manassian, for taking time here on the podcast this week. Roster is starting to trim down. The team is starting to take shape. And opening day, less than 2 weeks away. Baseball season is right around the corner. I'm Jeff Levering. Thanks for listening to Brewers on Tap.